When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake has modified its golf policies to follow the COVID-19 public health recommendations and welcomes you to play this award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic golf experience. The Meadows at Mystic Lake is a full-service golfing destination, enhanced by nearby food and entertainment, including the Meadows Bar and Grill and Mystic Lake Casino Hotel. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by Shakopee Midwakanton Sioux Community.
Oh, it's fun.
Crazy.
It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Indeed it is. Patrick, what is going on today? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty dang good. I got a bad neck, but I don't think the public wants to hear about that. I think maybe sympathy pains.
Rocco might call.
I think maybe sympathy pains for some of the injuries. Is Rocco a daddy yet or not?
We don't know.
What the hell?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right.
Good. Congratulations.
All right. What'd we get? A girl?
A girl.
I think we already knew it was a girl.
A baby to be named later.
Baby to be named later in a trade. Mm-hmm. With someone.
She's going to, you know, she might be fully healthy and ready to go home and tomorrow, but Rocco's going to wait a couple of more days to put her back in the lineup.
The kid's like, can I come home yet?
No, not yet. Looks like Louisa Sunny Baldelli, born at 3:44 a.m.
I wonder what the Sunny connection is. There must be some family thing there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good for him. Good for him. It took a while because... He and her were together for like 10 years before the nuptials, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Long time.
Yes.
That's okay.
They were.
I think that's kind of fun that Bill Evers is getting a chance because he's walking away to...
It's a great story. I didn't know what a baseball lifer he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I talked to him a couple of times. He's a very low-key old time, but he is one thing that hasn't gotten as much play about him. He was Tampa's Latin American expert for a long time. He was the guy that, you know, would go down there and see who could play when they had their Latin American guys. And they had a nice little run of Latin American players when he was running that. Huh. And it's kind of funny that I don't think they were in any way he just got sick of the minor leagues and that scouting and wanted to get in uniform a little bit. And of course, it helps him get more of a pension too when he's, retiring here. So, good old boy though, and loved his ball. We had a little bit of a mistake in our bio on him on Sunday. He said he played for the Yankees for 4 years. He never played in the big leagues, but he.
Yeah, the story was right though.
He played. Yeah, he played in.
Bio ended up being wrong.
Somebody who wrote the those. I gotta say, as a member of the staff, this remote desk operation is not all it's bragged up to be.
It's still remote, no?
Yeah.
They're not back downtown yet?
I've been in 3-4 times in the last 2 weeks.
I was going to say, come on back. It's okay.
Me and the Ripper and 2-3 other guys. Lilacs is in there a lot. There's about 4 or 5 guys.
Put the mask on, perhaps, but come on back downtown.
We
need people downtown.
We do. We definitely need people downtown. So what's funny is the on our floor... Mm-hmm. I mean, in our building, on that side of the building, there's a barbershop downstairs, and that stayed open through the whole thing somehow. They must have some regular customers, yeah.
Good for them.
They got 4 or 5 chairs in there, and these guys are going, I got this fine haircut there. I've been getting my haircut there lately. And the guy goes, zoop, zoop, zoop.
So you're supporting downtown.
See, and they give you a senior discount, too. So, you know, the thing about, you know what I've discovered about the senior discount?
What's that?
When you're 75, nobody ever asks you anymore. They just give it to you automatically. They don't ask you anymore.
I didn't get carded last night, and the guy I was with did, and it's very depressing. I whipped out my ID, like, you want to see mine? They're like, no, you're fine.
No, yeah, right.
See all that gray?
Yes, that is true. So, Vikings.
Yes, sir.
Give me your insights. Here's my insight.
Okay,
here's my
you go first.
Here's my expectation.
Royce Unchained. Yes.
Here's my expectation. You had about 3 weeks of training camp run up where everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But the last week have been fairly calm, right? The last week or so, and they got their team, and now they get to go play Cincinnati.
Yep.
And assuming that, you know, that we don't run into this guy, close contact, idiocy. They're going to beat Cincinnati by 2 touchdowns, and the ship will be righted, and they're going to be pretty good. That's my expectation.
I think you're right on. I think they're going to win that game. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
And I think they're going to, and they still got Detroit and the Bears.
Yep.
And if you split with them, they got a good chance to split with the Packers. So you're 5-1 in your division, or 4-2 at the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, the things have calmed down after the chaos. Now, Greg Joseph could give us some fun.
Yeah.
By missing a couple of field goals and get Zimmy all excited again. And who's the kicker? Who's the punter we brought in, by the way?
Australian guy from the Steelers. There's Jordan Berry, who was. Australian.
But he was never in camp. They claimed him on waivers then, right?
He got waived by Pittsburgh 2 consecutive years. Pittsburgh brought him back last year.
Okay.
But they drafted a punter.
Didn't we have a 30-year-old Australian already in camp? Was the other guy? I thought we had that's the Gophers had an old Australian.
Now, the Vikings did have an Australian when they signed that. It was Darren Bennett who had punted for the Chargers years ago.
Yes.
This is years ago. But, yeah, so this is their second go-around with an Aussie punter.
Yeah, well, I think Cole quit, paid the they figured he wasn't that good and he wouldn't get vaccinated,
yes.
So the hell with him. There's a,
yes, I think
there's
you're
a
right.
lot of, even though some coaches have let the cat out of the bag and then had to retreat, like Belichick and who was the?
Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer Urban, basically yeah. said, I'm getting rid of him if they, you know. But there's... you know, if you're looking for a class action lawsuit, the two guys who are the same, if you got the shot, you're staying and the other guy's gone.
Absolutely.
And I don't blame him. Just don't say it.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. But if you're not a star player.
No.
And you're up against a guy. You got no shot.
You know what it is? That part of football is the, what do we got? We got our starting 11s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got 2 extra offensive linemen, an extra receiver, quarterback has to be a decent backup. So you got 15 guys in offense and 15, 17 guys on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't in those 32, you're an NHL player who's not on one of the top 3 lines or one of the top 2 defensive pairs. If you do anything to pee them off, you're gone and there's another exact replica of you playing at Iowa or someplace. I've always said in the NHL, there's 10-year veterans who are no better than other 10-year-old veterans in the AHL, but they stayed because they coach liked them. They didn't make anybody mad.
Yep.
They didn't give up too many cheap goals. You know, there's that. And the NHL, you got to say, there's 20 guys on this team that are replaceable in 5 seconds.
Well, and if you're a specialist, I mean, Zim is itching to cut you anyway.
Yeah, to show him a sign.
Zim wakes up and says, what punter or kicker can I cut today?
Yeah, but wait till Vikingville if they miss a field goal because it's dropped by the...
Oh. I'll be all over that one.
If it's dropped by the, is this guy going to be the?
He's the holder. Yeah,
he's the holder.
He's a long-time holder in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. So he's an experienced.
But
holder.
You never know. There could be. I mean, mm-hmm. if there's a screw up,
if he gives him the strings to kick, man, they're going to be in trouble, right?
They brought Colquitt in here
two or three years ago now, largely because he was a really good holder.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the family business there. So
exactly.
Was his dad a punter, and then two of the
dad
sons?
Dad was a punter, and then the his brother actually replaced this Barry guy who's with the Vikings now in Pittsburgh last year for like 4 weeks.
Oh, really?
And then they cut him, yeah. Dustin.
Yeah,
Dustin Cole quit. Britton Cole quit, and then I think the old
man. You know
what
would be? And I'm sure this story's been done by some outlets though, but I'm fascinated by this, the people whose job is to go to kicking tryouts in the NFL, you know, but those 20 guys,
yeah.
There's what, 15 or 20 of them that every time somebody gets mad at a kicker,
yep.
Is there a hotline that they call?
They're just all waiting in one room and send them out. It's like a clown car. It's a punting clown car.
I mean, is it punting and but
kicking? Yeah,
even more so kicking.
Yeah,
you know, those place kicker guys who just, you know, Kai Forbath, he shows up and gets himself 3 more years and then he's gone. He's looking again, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not anywhere.
I don't think he is. Yeah, he bounced around.
He'll be someplace this year, though.
Without a job for a while. That was a weird one too.
It's really different. You know, it used to be in the 60s, let's say, maybe even into the 70s. In the 50s, as a kid in Fulda, Minnesota, I could tell you who the 6 goaltenders were in the NHL. You know, Terry Sawchuk and
Glenn Hall,
all the guys. I could name them. They were the same guy.
Yep.
And I could tell you who the NFL kickers were. You know,
yep.
Who the same 12 years, Freddie Cox was, they all were 12-year kickers. Because if they made 65% of them from 35 yards, nobody ever got in trouble for missing a 48-yarder back then.
Did Bud try those?
not too often. It'd have to be really desperate to make Freddie kick one of those.
Right.
That to me kind of ruined the game. When they should make sideways kicking illegal. They should make them go out there and kick it with their toes.
Toes, I love
that's
the toes.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, the toes.
Who was the guy? Was it Dempsey from the Saints?
He cheated. He only had a half a foot.
But that boot.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That boot was incredible.
And who knows what he had in there? Huh. He might have had the front of his shoe might have been the first titanium in sports.
Yeah, it looked like it could have been.
Yeah, right, because he kicked it way up in the
air. I remember as a kid, I thought to myself, how did he get his foot in that shoe? I didn't realize he only had half foot then.
Freddie, God love him. We all love Freddie. But look up his kicking percentage.
It's remarkable.
Unbelievable.
That and picks, Pat.
And interceptions.
Interceptions. Yes.
Biggest change is Fran. Hall of Fame, greatest quarterback ever. He threw 32 his last year, I think. Was it 32?
Hold on a second.
78.
Hold on. I'm looking up Fred Cox first for you. Percentage, field goal percentage, 62% for his career.
62% for career.
His last year, 47.1. He made 8 of 17. His long was 4. He actually, you know what?
Did he make a field?
In 1975, his long was 52.
Really?
Wow. And in 1965, he hit from 53.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I suppose it depended on the wind back then if they let him kick or not.
Jeez, at the Met, though.
But you got to think the other thing is they're starting early in November, they're kicking on dirt.
Yes.
You know, kicking it out of a dirt pile and sometimes out of a mud pile and stuff like that. Do you ever see the field for the one of the...
The Rams game?
No. One of Namath's great victories with the Jets. Shea Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't ask 2 high school teams to play on this field, you know? The infield was still there. It's November, and the infield is still there, and there's no grass anywhere, and it's just this ragged thing in Shea Stadium. It's amazing what they play on now. And people say, I don't know about this turf. I can tell you that there's no turf more dangerous than now that they know how to make turf, that it's not carpet on top of cement.
Which must have been the worst to play on.
Oh, God, yes.
The Metrodome, when it opened, I mean, that you're right, it was cement.
Well, you think about a guy like Earl Campbell with the Houston running 40 times a game on that carpet down in the Astrodome, which was just a rock hard surface.
You're right on Tarkington. His last year in 78, he threw 32 picks, 25 touchdowns and 32 picks.
Unbelievable.
32 interceptions.
I got to look this up. I think I could do it. That could be Cousins. He was getting booed because they wanted Kramer.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out with a story. He sat down and did an interview with his guys, you know. I don't know who was there, Sidney or Clubby, or Clubby might have written it. I don't know. But about there's no appreciation for the old guys in this town. There's no appreciation for what you've done if you're a veteran. And he basically just disemboweled the fans for booing him. And it was like this cry for sympathy. Because I remember I was writing, I don't think I was writing columns yet in St. Paul, but I was writing a Sunday thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a column about there's no appreciation for, this was 50 years ago, and I wrote a column about there's no appreciation for an old prep writer or something like that. There's no appreciation in this town for that. I did some satirical thing. But it was, it was in the St. Paul paper, so Ralphie must have gotten in on it, too. I think he must have called
called
his minions together to do this thing. That, you know, there's no appreciation for the old guys.
Did fans get madder about it, or did they not care? You remember?
I can't remember. I mean, it was all letters then. There's no Twitter or any. Yeah, obviously, it was a mere 30 years before Twitter. So, yeah, I don't know. It was hard to say. I'm sure we got some letters, but I can't remember what. But I think most people felt chagrined. You know, we should be nicer, you know, probably. I don't know. He probably got a big, robust hand when he came in the next time. But people were, I'm going to have to find out what date that was. Sometime in 78, might have been early November, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah. And Kramer had led the big comeback, though, in 77, right, against San Francisco?
Yes.
When Fran was out with, the broken leg, I think?
There was one game there, and he was leading. He was leading a comeback against somebody, and then he got hit, didn't he? And he got all twitchy. You know, he was like, took some kind of a blow.
Oh, okay.
And was twitchy, and that's when either Max McGee either saw it on TV on a highlight, or they were playing the Packers. And Max McGee owned Chi-Chi's, you know.
Oh, you're talking about Kramer, okay.
And Maximilian.
Yes.
Yeah, Kramer.
Yeah, no,
twitchy.
It was the Rams.
Max McGee was doing the Packer game.
Okay.
And they saw it. You know, they were showing highlights. Maybe this was later after Tommy had already started playing. I don't know when it was, but Max McGee's greatest quote ever. Boy, I hope he's not hurt bad. He's my best customer. He's my best customer. We needed the bar.
The 494 strip.
Tommy was that. He's my best customer.
That's one of my greatest regrets of not being of age back then is that 494 strip.
One of the best columns I ever wrote was real early. I got a hold of McGee, and McGee talking about the first Super Bowl and how he's sitting there hungover because he's not going to play because they got Carroll, Dale, and Dollar and. And then he got a third. He was like the fourth receiver, you know, and he was a veteran and he'd been out the night before raising hell. And, you know, he was sitting on the sidelines with the, you know, towel over his head because the sun was, you know, he wasn't even watching a game. Right. He was sitting there hungover. And all of a sudden they say, McGee. And I can't remember. I think it was Dollar got hurt. McGee, and he ended up being the MVP of the game. He caught like three. He made that catch behind him and everything like that. And there's a guy. I still resent him for his death because he fell off a roof shoveling the snow.
In Excelsior, I think.
He had more money than two-thirds of the world.
Yep.
And he didn't hire somebody to shovel his own roof, and he fell off the roof. But what a great guy he was. Man, he was funny. He was – and – extremely successful. Mm-hmm. He started with those left guards with Jerry Kramer was his partner, right? He and Jerry Kramer, he started with those left guards. And that place in Bloomington was originally a left guard. And then they changed it to Chi-Chi's and Maximilian's. It was a disco, and Chi-Chi's was when the Mexican restaurant thing hit, you know, big. There was one over on St. Anthony, Maine when it first opened, Guadalajara's. You couldn't get in there.
Really?
And this is the truth of the situation. I was married by then, so I wasn't into this, but the young males who were looking for companionship in the Twin Cities, young, untrustworthy males, would love taking young, single women to Mexican restaurants because they could get a couple margaritas in them.
Yep.
You know, it's, you can't get a gal to loosen her morals drinking beer.
Correct.
You know, or even slow gin or gin and tonics.
Right. But the margaritas.
Two margaritas and, you know, there's it was, they were extremely popular. The line for those things was, couples introducing themselves to each other. And, So
it was the left guard in here in Green Bay?
Oh, they were all over Wisconsin.
Okay.
There were quite a few of them in Wisconsin, the left guard.
Okay.
I mean, percentage wise, Packers, hugely pop. You were over there.
Yeah.
Percentage wise.
And drinking hugely.
I mean,
popular.
You were over there for 3 years. And the Favre era, I mean, amazingly popular, still amazingly popular. But percentage wise of the Wisconsin population, nothing compares with the Lombardi era and how sainted the Packers were then. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was, Title Town USA, baby. It was all, the whole town was dedicated to the Packers.
And that's back when those in the journalism world didn't dig for anything. Like you weren't looking for dirt.
No. It was also when Vince was in the phone book.
Yeah.
If you wanted to complain, if you were a Packer fan and you wanted to complain about Vince, you could call Vince at
home. I saw Great Football Life. It was a two-part series on Vince about a year ago or so, and it's really interesting. How tortured he was by life and football, and then the whole thing to go to Washington.
Yeah.
And he died shortly after that. It's a really interesting background thing.
Oh, it is. He was, because the Nebraska Cornhuskers proudly slayed the Fordham Rams this weekend, taking the heat off Scott Frost because they beat Fordham badly. It stuck in my head. Seven blocks of granite, Fordham. Well, Lombardi was one of the seven blocks of granite. And before World War II, with Fordham, they played a real schedule, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were the kings of New York football. Well, college football, well, they were also probably, it was them and Columbia. But that's how far back Vince goes. He was one of the seven.
And then he was an assistant for the Giants.
The seven blocks of granite, I think that might have been Grantland Rice, the seven blocks of granite.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He was a 185-pound lineman. Jeez. He was one of the seven blocks of granite.
Because he wasn't that big a guy.
No, he wasn't. Sid, he's another guy Sid could call up at home and BS with him, you know. He was, that would have been a tough slog over there if he decided to say time has passed Vince by or something like that. He won, right? He quit after the second Super Bowl. Right?
Yes. Yeah, because he took the Washington job because he was having I think he had a bit of a falling out with people in Green Bay.
Yeah, probably.
The Packers people. And they gave him more control. I think he was a coach and president of football operations in Washington. I don't think he could get the president title in Green Bay.
Well, he died of colon cancer, and one reason he was having problems, and he once told somebody said, "Well, you got to go get a colonoscopy," and he said, "Nobody's sticking something up my rear end."
Yeah, well, so, back then it was probably more popular to draw a line in the sand.
Draw a line in the sand on that one.
So,
I think he was mid 50s, right?
Yeah, he wasn't that old.
Yeah,
So Bud and did Bud and Vince get along at all or no? Do you remember?
Well, Bud was, did he ever play him?
Well, Bud came in 67,
yeah. 67, yeah. Bud beat him.
Okay.
No, Vince beat him. Like the 60, I mean, Norm beat him in 62 or 3. I mean, mm-hmm. a big upset. That was one of the Packers' first big wins, 63 maybe. Beat him and surprised the hell out of us. But, yeah, I don't know how Bud did with him. He probably tied him once. That one, you know, Bud's first year, 3-8-3.
That's incredible.
Tie one for Bud. That used to be our battle cry. Tie one for Bud.
That is absolutely incredible. Three ties in a season. Hey, so I was watching a documentary last night on NBA Network. Have you seen the, it's like an hour and a half documentary on the Dream Team, which I think you covered.
I did cover it. I guess it's good, though.
Great stuff. But yeah. Stuff about Barkley, how they basically said, stay in your hotel, don't go out. There's too much. Barkley, screw you.
Yeah, well.
And he went out every night.
Well, they took him to Monte Carlo.
Yeah, they've got the whole thing about that.
They took him to, what the hell? You got these rich, young, on-the-make guys, and your final warm up before you go to Barcelona is to take him to Monte Carlo, in the, you know, which is the gambling, drinking, chasing.
They probably told Jordan, because I guess Jordan didn't want to play at first.
Yes, for they were going, okay, we'll they go probably to Monte told Carlo. Jordan,
look, we'll give into every vice you got.
Mm-hmm. I told you the one of the highlights of my life was being with the Dream Team in San Diego, and they were at the Sheraton on Torrey Pines, and he was across the hall from me. Now, I came out of my room one day, and he's coming out. Now, his room appeared to have less doors. It appeared to have more room behind the doors than mine. You know, he wasn't staying in the same room.
Yep.
But he was, they'd scrimmage that day and played that day. But he appeared that he was going out for the evening. He had a very nice suit on and looked like he was going out for the evening. But what that was a great experience, man, because I've told you about, you know, getting Silas McKinney and Charles for 45 minutes at the bar. I didn't say a word. I just sat there and listened to him tell stories about Alabama and the various offers that Charles was fielding before he made his college decision. Oh. And Charles just telling stories. But Brian McIntyre was the NBA PR guy.
Yep.
I told you this story. And Charles is leaving, and the guy comes over and says, blah, blah, talks to him, this civilian. And there's a guy over, a 25-year-old guy over in a wheelchair who was birth defects, you know, really, really badly, treated by that. And he, you know, and so he asked Charles to come over and say hello to the kid. Charles sat down and talked to the kid for a half hour.
Really?
Yeah. And I told that story to McIntyre, and McIntyre's the best guy we got. Best guy we got for people. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with
people. Yeah, they said that. He was great.
Now, if you come up to him and threaten him like the guy in Milwaukee you're going to end up bleeding, laying on the floor in the Skyway. But
what a character, though.
Oh, God. Yes, he's unbelievable.
I mean,
he's
still great, but.
He is, yeah. He is. He's, is he leaving? Is he leaving TNT?
I don't think so.
I thought I read something. Maybe doing less of it or something. I don't know.
Well, that's a possibility. Yeah, I don't think he's leaving.
No.
I mean, my God, if he leaves, it's not going to be the same with just Shaq and Kenny and Ernie.
One of the times he got married was on the Thursday before the All-Star game in Houston. So he gets married on Thursday somewhere. And now they're having the NBA was the greatest for access. They had a 2-hour cocktail party, like from 4 to 6, that was mandatory for all the players to come down and mingle with the writers, you know. And all these old NBA writers, this is early, late 80s, they loved covering the NBA because it was just, the access was unbelievable. And, you know, they were the same They were the same guys year after year. And,
right.
But Charles shows up. He's just gotten married, and he shows up, and he's down there BSing, and then at halftime, I think he might have been the MVP. No, maybe that was, I can't remember who the MVP was, but he had a big game. But he says to Phil Jasner from Philadelphia, who covered the, he wasn't with Philadelphia then, I don't think, but
Phoenix.
But Jasner, and but he says to Jasner, he says, was my wife still out there? And he said, yeah. He says, damn, she was supposed to leave at halftime. I was going to go to the gentleman's club tonight. He said, there's like 20 reporters around. He says, and he didn't describe it as the gentleman's club.
No, I'm sure he didn't.
He didn't. He had a different word for it, but oh, God. Yeah, I mean, the NBA then with, you know, fewer teams and fewer stars was, I never covered it as a beat, but I guess it was great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it really was culty. It, you know, and NHL writers were the same. I mean, NHL writers probably still more of a cult than,
mm-hmm.
than you know, the NBA. They get people coming in and out, and there's so many teams.
Yeah, because it's so big now.
Mm-hmm. But it is funny how sports writing was my first, you know, I started covering the World Series in 74 and covered 24 and same guys from, you know, I'd sit next to they assigned you by chapter, and they moved it around alphabetically, so your seat got better each year, and then it got worse. But I'd sit next to the same guys for years, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you'd see the same beat writers, and you know, and now beat writers change every 2-3 years.
I was going to say now it's yeah, and
you never
and
know
you got
who's
two beat writers
it.
On a lot
and
of.
And I'm not
beats.
Complaining. I'm just saying that's the way the newspaper game is, and people are leaving and going to The Athletic and going to ESPN and coming back and going to various websites. And it's but back then it was, you know, until the mid-90s, it was newspapers.
Yes.
That was it.
Yep.
That's all you had because there was no, you know.
The World Series was all the papers too, right?
Yes.
For the most part.
Everybody covered it. Yeah, we won't.
Now it's got to be down to.
This will have to be the 10th, 11th year in a row we haven't covered the World Series.
Yeah.
You know. And I don't blame them. Hell, the games get over at 11:45 and mm-hmm. trying to make the paper and, you know, and the ratings are not good and all that good stuff. So I said this the other day that I was just realizing I got up Sunday morning and I was reading the paper and the Twins, I looked to see what time the Twins on, and I realized I have never had less interest in monitoring a Twins game in my life.
Really?
Than right now. You know, for that, so like 2000... for that moment. I mean, I know at that moment,
okay,
not
okay.
the whole season. I mean, at that
okay.
moment.
All right, so this is a single. Okay.
So then
I
looked it up and to see how many days it had been since my dad and I went to the first ever game at Met Stadium. And it was 21,700 and some days. And I said, I realized in 21,700 days, I'm never going to be less interested in checking what the Twins score is than I am
today.
Because I don't care. I don't care. You know, because they're not trying to establish anything. I went off on this with you guys this morning.
Mm-hmm.
This Bailey Ober thing's driving me crazy. What are we protecting him from? He's 6'9". He's 6'9". He's a moose.
But this is what they do with everybody now,
moose,
Pat.
But because he didn't pitch last year.
Yeah.
We can only pitch him 95 innings instead of 115. What are 20 innings? What do they mean? What do 20 innings mean? In his long-term success.
I don't know. I mean,
if he says he's healthy and wants to keep pitching, let him keep pitching. You know, there's no indication. If he comes to you and says, ooh, I felt a little twinge in my shoulder,
right.
then stop pitching him.
Right.
if I felt a little tweak, but there's nothing wrong with him.
Yes. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, why does Rocco race out of the dugout? I mean, Arise is the perfect example.
He's Carlos Gomez.
Right, exactly. So he's just going to, like, if he fouls the ball off his foot, he's going to act like he's been shot, and then he's going to get up and be fine.
Yes.
Every time he does it, Rocco is out of the dugout.
With, not only with the trainer, but with Elvis, the interpreter.
Yeah.
You know, it's a three-man gaggle rushing at him. It looks like they're going to an emergency after a tornado hit a house or something. This is Patrick Racy for the Canopy Group, and this is a time of year we love in Minnesota. The leaves are changing colors, the kids are back in school, and the apples are ready to be picked. So what do apples and insurance have in common? When it comes to getting an insurance quote, many people want an apple-to-apples comparison. We can't do that at Canopy. Here's why. The Canopy Group, we believe our clients deserve only the best insurance coverage for the best price. That's why we only offer our clients combined single limit coverage. Many captive carriers, meaning they only have one option, offered split limit coverage. That means they can change what they pay you for a claim depending on how it fits. The type of coverage leaves you open to gaps and on the hook at claim time. This doesn't sound good to us, and it isn't good for you. At the Canopy Group, we're often able to increase coverage from split limit to combined limit, single limit coverage, and save clients money. If you want an apples-to-apples comparison, be prepared. The Canopy Group's apples are much bigger and better than the competition. To make sure you're getting the best insurance, call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com. Gardy, Gogo had to sprawl around out there for quite a while.
Oh, he wouldn't come out.
Gardy might, because he got tired of it. Yeah, Gardy might make the call if the trainer gave him a, you know, first of all, it would take 3 minutes for the trainer to come out, right? And Gardy, take 5 minutes. He really had to put on an act for Gardy to come out, you know, because he wasn't gonna go along with the whole idea that every time you're out at second, you're hurt, you know.
Right. But, I mean, these guys do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Arise does this all the time now.
Yes, he is.
And Rocco has never failed to. No. Rocco might race from the bedside of his, you know,
his child
if he sees Arise go down to make sure to yank him.
I don't think we'll see Bill Evers hustling out there at the first notice.
It'd be very interesting to hear what Bill thinks about the progression of baseball. I'd love to hear the off the record.
Yeah, and I don't think he has, you know, his analytics are fine and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people.
It's the overreact, the protection that we give players.
Yes.
You know, the whole idea that they have to be pampered.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this idea that, man, alive, they had to fly back. They're going to have to fly back to New York and play. Now, I thought it was silly to make them fly back to Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's some burden. You get on a chartered plane, you fly to New York, you play a ball game, and you fly back on a chartered plane. Go back to the day when you played and then got up at 7 o'clock in the morning or 6:30 and caught the flight to the next town, you know? Which was
commercial flight.
The 5 years I covered the team, they were still about 75%, 80% charter. I mean, commercial.
Yeah, that's a little different.
And somewhere in there, they got from the owners that they had to have a middle seat open.
Oh, okay.
Except you'd get out there to the plane and the bus would show up and they'd have sold all the tickets and people were sitting in those middle seats, you know, and they weren't going to make them get off the plane. They weren't going to make all these. Used to have bloodbath arguments with screaming at the traveling secretaries and stuff like that because they didn't have their middle seats.
Yeah, I don't think flying to New York is exactly a hardship. So
no. No.
Now, the Twins are so bad there that it might be a hardship for them, but yeah, you're right.
How about this fact?
Mm-hmm.
The Orioles this weekend defeated the Yankees for the seventh time this season.
Yeah, and the Yankees got ripped in the tabloids. It was great to read.
Tampa Bay 18-1 against
the Orioles,
and the Yankees have lost 7. Would the Yankees want to figure out why they're chasing Tampa?
Yep.
They lost to this team 7 times, and Tampa lost to them once.
How do you lose to that collection 7 times is my question. They're awful.
And this was in Yankee Stadium, right?
Yeah, they got ripped.
Did they lose 2 out of 3 or just
I
one?
Think, no, I think they
just
lost two.
One, two
I thought it was 2 out of 3.
Maybe. They lost 7. I know they lost 7 to them. Well, remember when Boston opened the season by losing, getting swept in Baltimore?
Yeah, we all thought they were dead.
Yeah, they were terrible. Well,
and now they might
that
be.
That was a bad loss yesterday. They were ahead by 6 runs.
How about the balk, the on-purpose balk? Did you see that?
No.
Tampa Bay was up by 2, top of the 10th, so they put bottom of the 10th, they put the runner on second base. Tampa didn't want the guy at second stealing signs, and the run didn't matter, so the pitcher intentionally balked him to third.
Well, they were afraid he'd steal signs?
Yep. And they didn't want him.
That's taking your genius to a next level, right?
I sort of like it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah, the run.
But I mean, the Red Sox have. You know, I mean, you don't know.
Can you reject a balk? Can you?
I don't think you can. Decline.
Can you say I'm not going?
Decline.
I'm staying here.
Balk number 73. Decline. I don't think you can, but it's actually it might be debated now.
How'd my friend Andrew Albers get called for 2 balks?
But then they took one away. I guess he argued one, and they took it, and they rescinded it. But I don't. They said he wasn't. I
didn't realize that you have.
You're supposed to declare what
you have to tell the pitcher
or wind
the umpires whether when there's no runners on. But
no,
balk can only be called when with a runner on base.
I think what
well,
it is.
You're always gonna pitch out of the stretch with a runner on base.
I guess you have to declare it.
Of course you're gonna pitch out of the.
So the Yankees. Lost 2 of 3. They lost Saturday, Sunday.
Ooh.
To Baltimore. 4-3-8-7.
Tabloids had fun with that.
Oh, yeah. It's great. I love those headlines.
You know,
the Post
might,
is still my
you
favorite.
Might, you know who might sneak in for the second wild card while nobody's looking is Seattle.
Yeah.
They're only, you know, they're like
I was looking at that.
2 games behind the Yankees or something like
and
that.
And if I'm not mistaken, the A's have really trailed off.
Oh, they've gone.
The Red Sox had some problems.
Yeah. They might.
The Braves were, so 2 weeks ago, the Braves were running great.
Now the Phillies.
Yeah.
The Phillies, talk about weird. They won like 12 out of 13. Then they lost like 10 out of 12, and now they're hot again.
Mm-hmm. So. And the Mets, I think, started to play better because they were god-awful, too.
Yeah. But then they.
That's the problem with the Twins being bad, though. It's not nearly as much fun.
No, you don't pay any attention. You don't pay any attention. What else? What else we got going on here? So, I heard you guys talking Kaprizov. You think it's going to end up at 5 years, huh?
Yeah, I think they've offered 5 years, and I think they told him just take it. Or I think the Wild said, hey, 5 years, $9 million per, which is fair.
Is that enough?
I think the agent must have told him, I'll get you a shorter deal. I think Guerin said, screw that. He's got no leverage.
Well, what if you make it 10 a year?
I might get it done, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be... So let's say that they go 9.5 per year for 5 years.
So is that?
But what's he going to do?
Are really good players making more than that?
Some are, but I mean, the problem is he's
one of his problems is he's a little older,
and one of his problems is he stayed in Russia so long, so he doesn't have he would be in free agency right now, if he had come here, but he waited 5 years because he's drafted in 2015.
Yeah.
So now he wants to be paid like he came here 3 years ago.
He's 25?
24 right now. I think he turns 25.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to be 30 because it's legal.
But
there'll be more money. Well, I don't blame him, though, that, you know.
His problem is he has zero leverage. He can't sign anywhere.
Do they have any escalators? I mean, can you in the NHL give him more money if he gets 25 goals?
Yes, I think you can get bonuses.
$2 million or something
yes,
like
I think
that.
You can do that.
That's what they're going to have to do, right, dude?
But
you know, void the last 2 years if he's.
Yeah, I don't think he'll, I don't think Guerin's going to do that. I think Guerin's going to tell him, look, it's 5 years, and in 5 years,
the
if
trouble
you don't
is
be here, you're
though
walk.
They can't put any pressure on if he doesn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't show up, there's nothing they can do about it.
No, but I mean, you're just going to sit then and.
No, but what I'm saying is if he shows up 2 days before the season starts.
Yeah.
He can skip training camp if
yes.
he wants to. There's
sure.
no fines to be levied or anything. Because he's free agent, right? Well, restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's beyond restricted, but yes, there's no contract right now currently. Yeah,
so you can't.
But I think they're willing to take the risk that he won't show up because they think they're going to call his bluff. Because if he doesn't show up, he's just going to sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, well, I think he'll show up for the season, but he probably won't show up until the last minute.
But we're right around the corner from starting, too. They start training camp in a couple weeks.
I guess
rookies, Doogie was saying rookies reporting next week, and then I think it might be the 21st or something. They're actually, the entire team's on
too
the ice.
Early.
Especially all sports when are too early.
But the season ended too late.
Well, yeah, because of COVID stuff. But all of those seasons are too long. Football had the perfect season, 16 games. They screw that up, and they'll go to 18.
But
baseball, hockey, and basketball are all too long.
I was going through baseball's myriad of problems in my mind the other day. And you know what else sucks? The imbalanced schedule, where you got to play 19 a year games.
Yes.
You got to pay 19 a year games. And one, you're trying to draw people, and here comes boring Detroit again, boring Kansas City again, boring Cleveland again. The White Sox are okay. But the other clubs have got to raise hell. And I was thinking, you should at least play everybody in your league 9 times, which means every other year, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Angels show up twice at your ballpark, and you're running. So that balances out. So that increases.
Mm-hmm.
That would increase 3 times 10 is 30. That would be take 30 games out of that. That then if you play everybody in your own league 13 times, that's 52 instead of 90.
And then
the other 8 games.
Yep.
Don't play them. You know, play everybody in your division 12. Play everybody.
I agree.
And play, or 13. Okay, 52. Play everybody. Play all these other teams 9 times. That's 90. And then play your other, you know, you can get rid of 8 games, you know.
But you told me the problem, and you're right. The networks want the Red Sox and Yankees to play 19 times a year, but I'm with you.
The Yankees and the Red Sox aren't even an event anymore because they play so damn often.
I'm with you totally. I'd love to see them.
Yes.
The Yankees, yeah, you should have the Yankees and Red Sox here twice a year at least on occasion.
Yes.
I mean, I think the Red Sox were here in April or May, and then they don't come back.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you get
it's just, and I think even less appealing, I mean, despite getting the Yankees or the Red Sox or whoever you're going to get, Tampa, it's just playing the same damn team all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what bores you.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing the bleeping Royals again, and you know what they're playing in Kansas City? They're playing the bleeping Twins again. Why would I go to the game to see the Twins again?
Yep.
You know, why would I go to a game to see the Royals or the Tigers or the Indians in their current state, the Guardians? Next year I'll have to go see the Guardians to see the new unis, but beyond that.
Still thought they should have been the Spiders.
Oh, yes.
I wanted the Spiders badly.
Should have been the Spiders. You would have had a great logo.
It was and a throwback, the whole throwback thing to their
great. It would have been great.
Early 1900s?
I think they didn't want to come back. They were going to be afraid of the jokes because I think the Spiders won 30 games 1 year or something like that. But that's another way we get baseball is the Twins are in my opinion, when you combine baseball losing younger generation,
mm-hmm.
when you combine the 4-hour games, when you combine post-COVID, I got something else to do, I think they're in the worst shape they've ever been. As far as the fan base. Now there's more people than ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they have more work to do with their customers than they've ever had.
Well, and don't forget too, there's a large part of their customer base that can't watch games if they want to.
That's it. That's
another
huge
deal.
I forgot. That's the big one I forgot.
You know?
I would hate to be Mr. St. Peter and trying to sit in there with the Polad crew and all everybody and his marketing people and try to think of how you're going to get out of this mess.
Yep.
Because, I mean, people are listen. We're going to open up the ballpark again. And wow, this post-pandemic, we got full capacity, the reopening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still 17 to 21 every game.
Unless the Brewers or Cubs come in.
Yes. Yeah.
Those two series.
But the Cubs.
At least helped them.
But yes, and the Cubs would have helped them if they. By the way, the Cubs have won 7 in a row. Have you given up
on
them?
They look great here. I went to the second game. They look fantastic.
They won 7 in a row. Maybe they're geniuses. But, I mean, it's they're in trouble. They're in trouble.
Yep.
The public.
Well, what's the season ticket base going to be next season?
I have no idea what it is now. But, you know, they... If I worked for them boys right now, I'd be depressed.
Yeah.
You know.
You'd be thinking of a lot of bobblehead promotions for next season.
I always tell the story about Mark Wicker in 83, I believe it was, when the Twins were at their previous nadir of, you know, it was embarrassing to know that, you know, to say anything about them, you know. We were out at Maynard sitting on the... On the deck, my wife and I and Wicker was in town, and to annoy the wait staff, he kept asking them for an update on the Twins. And they were like getting mad at him. There was these young women, you know, and
yeah.
Then the one young woman waiting on us. He'd, hey, did you get that twin score yet? And then some other guy, you know, the hostess and. Set somebody off, and she was coming back and say, hey, last time you checked, what was the Twins? He thought it was the most funny. He thought it was the funniest thing in the history of man, asking for the twin score and offending people.
Sure, they thought he was a complete you-know-what.
What's this guy doing? Get him out of here.
Who cares?
All righty, we're good. Go Vikes. They're going to beat the Bengals. I think the Bengals might be the worst team in the league.
So how many games do the Vikings win? What's your... Prediction.
I've decided to go with 11-6, win the division.
Woo!
Half a game.
That's a kiss of death.
A game ahead of the Packers.
Wow.
That's what I got him at. I think the NFC isn't good, and the division isn't good. The Packers are very vulnerable.
Yeah.
And but one other thing, Wisconsin thing. How do you think Paul Christ is sitting with the fans?
That Graham Mertz look. Did you watch that?
Graham Mertz, ooh. Three turnovers in the last 3 minutes, and meanwhile, Jack Cohn is lighting up Florida State.
Yeah, I think, In fact, I saw a couple of tweets calling for Paul Christ's job after one game. tells you.
Paul had a big problem this year. They're vastly overrated. So
yes.
Yeah. He doesn't have a running back. Wisconsin without a star running back.
How the hell do they not have a running back? They always have a running back.
I don't know. Wisconsin.
Barry used to go to Jersey and get them all out of Jersey.
That's right. Yeah, no matter what it costs.
Oh, Ron Dane was very well. Ron Dane probably made more at Wisconsin than in the National Football League.
As he should. Now he could actually make it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, how about I'm the Wisconsin running back? You know, put you up there with all the others, man.
Billboards?
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, I've... For that reason, Nebraska, Wisconsin being overrated, Purdue, not good. Looks like the Gophers in Iowa for the West to me.
Kirk Ferentz will take great joy in trying to kick PJ's ass again.
He gets him down. Does he get him down? Are they here, though?
No, right? No, they're there.
Down there, okay.
November, like, 13th or 12th.
Somebody told me that secondhand, I think I said this earlier today, Ryan Day, not a big fan of our guy either.
Oh, yeah, you told me that.
And might be less of a fan after he hears the...
coaching with
that.
He's
going to make him coach. P.J. Fleck's going to make Ohio State coaches coach. They're confused. Do you think they're going to remember that one next time they get him in Columbus?
Yeah, just maybe.
Okay.
All right.
See ya. If you have questions about your retirement savings, do what I did and work with a person that knows what the heck is going on. Work with Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk. My guy Josh will give you straight talk and not sugar-coated advice. Learn how you can benefit from Josh's focused approach by setting up your own no-cost, no-obligation 48-minute consultation to review your investments. Call Josh now, 952-925-5608.
Hi, this is Daniel Rue, the Real GM Radio Podcast. And while the NBA season is still pretty new, there are some interesting storylines going on. And for me, one of them is, let's call it a shift in expectations, because there are a couple teams that we expected to be not necessarily pushing the accelerator in the early going in the season, maybe seeing Victor Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, this purportedly strong 2023 draft class, and going, hey, we could be a part of that. And that would be the Utah Jazz and the San Antonio Spurs. Both teams are over 500 with some nice wins. And this isn't fluky. They're playing well so far. And so we will see how they build on this, how they react to it. Do they keep pushing, see if it can keep going, or do they change directions through trades and everything else? So that'll be something to watch in this year where the draft class is strong and these teams have incentives going in both directions. Hi, this is Daniel LaRue from the Real GM Radio Podcast. BetOnline.net is your number one source for betting football and the start of the new basketball season. Find all the latest player developments, matchups, news, in-depth analysis, and live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Can check in on your favorite games and events, including the baseball playoffs, start of the hockey season, MMA, boxing, and golf, plus sports podcasts. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more at BetOnline, where the game starts.